Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text your questions or comments 24 hours a day to 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Rock on the Money, or our website at rockonthemoney.com. Good evening, Amanda.
Hi, Craig. How are you today?
The world is falling apart.
Yeah.
But I'm staying on course, long-term mindset to the max.
Yeah, to the max.
To the max. That's all I have to say. What we got coming on this show?
Well, we, as usual, we're starting out with a couple of...
You've got mail.
We're going to breeze through those. We've got a big main topic today. What to do if you're facing a layoff or job loss.
A lot of people going through that right now.
Oof. Yeah, exactly. And then also very timely, we have a very special guest lined up for the Savvy Savings segment.
Really?
We do.
Oh, you're keeping it. That's a teaser.
It's what we call a teaser.
Whoa.
In the entertainment
business. Look at you. The girl that has never heard of a podcast before throwing out teasers.
Well, I've listened to radio before and watched TV.
You're like all pro broadcaster now.
Before you know it, I'm going to be like Ryan Seacrest. Dangle the results in front of you and then say, after the break.
Hey, how's that special project going you were going to announce at some point?
Moving on.
Apparently, I'll work on it for you, apparently.
Yes.
All right.
Great.
Question.
You've got mail.
We'll get to that here in a minute. Question number one. You ready?
Yes.
These are a lot of quickies, I think. I just went through our...
Well, I'm in the mood for some quickies.
Whoa. Wow. You always get on me about talking like that. What I did is I went through our Facebook group and just found the questions that people are throwing out there. So this is what people are thinking. And these are common questions, actually. Social media question number one. I've never really had to think about this, but what happens if your deferred comp balances drop to zero while you're waiting for it with your long-term mindset?
Okay.
What they're assuming is that their 401k or IRA or 457 could potentially go to zero.
Okay, but that would mean the entire world has ceased to exist, and that's not our biggest problem.
I think that's pretty much what I told him. Did you see my responses? I'm like, that is literally impossible unless we enter
apocalyptic
phase.
Unless you're only invested in a single stock and that one business goes belly up. If you're following what we've been saying repeatedly, that you should be diversified in, and by diversified, I mean simply, you can simply put all of your money in one S&P 500 ETF, and that is diversified, because within the fund, they're balancing out in the top 500. That's what the 500 comes from, the top 500 companies in the United States. So that would mean that Google, Microsoft, Amazon, I don't know, what else, Craig?
Microsoft, Adobe, MasterCard,
Walmart.
Visa. These are all the top company. Johnson & Johnson, baby powder. You're
going deep on the bench when you say 500. So
right.
All of them would have to go belly up at the same time, which means basically that we are in a post-apocalyptic world.
Exactly. America is done, is what you're saying.
Right.
And in that case,
no one has a retirement plan.
Right. Yeah, we have bigger problems to face at that point. The S&P 500 is readjusted every year. It's America's top 500 companies. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me, if you're in that all of America is done, that nothing.
So I think
business
the answer
exist.
To this question then is you still don't have to think about it.
Right. In other words, stop looking at it. It's going to be fine. And it really gets back to that long-term mindset. If you are doing what we tell you to do, you are betting on America is what we are having you do. It has been proven study after study that the S&P 500 index does better than 80% of the other funds out there that use it
in that same benchmark.
Yeah. So, and I understand this is scary times.
Yes.
Some of the people in our group haven't lived long enough to recall 9/11, but as horrible as 9/11 was, and literally the market crashed, like the planes crashed into the market, basically, right into Wall Street, literally. And it took 57 days for the market to recover after that huge crash.
Right.
57 days. That's 2 months, people.
Airplanes were grounded. It'll feel like a long
2 months.
Everything stopped.
It'll feel like a long 2 months because we're all stuck indoors.
Right.
But it'll go by. And I'm not saying that this will recover in 2 months, but even if you look at what happened in 2008, that took between a year and 18 months to recover. So this is not even, in my opinion, and that's all it is. It's worth what you pay for it right now. We're not looking at 10 years. We're looking at less than two. I think less than one.
Yeah. Two is the average, but I believe everything's going to shoot up because here's something I thought about. I don't know if this has been mentioned anywhere else, so I'm not copying it. As I'm laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning answering these questions, which I know I need to shut that down, but I'm worried about everybody. But what I realized is, tell me if I'm wrong in this mindset. We've never discussed this between you and I. This is our first virus that is a social media virus, where social media is around with this. We didn't have it with bird flu, all the other ones.
Well, we had it kind of with swine flu. That was what.
Yeah, that's true. A little bit, but
the H1N1.
That's true. That one was a little bit, but now everybody's on social media. Even grandmas and grandpas, and now.
Yeah, and even MERS was in 2012. So we've actually had a number of them. And then what else did we have just more recently?
Use America Online as an example.
America. No, that was 2012.
I know. But you know what I mean? Everybody is on social media now. Because everybody has a smartphone now.
Yeah.
Even old people don't use. What was that stupid phone they used to market to old people with the big buttons? It was it started with a J. It was something about a bug.
Oh, it's like the June bug or something.
June bug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even everybody has a social media phone now. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's true. Anyway. Anyway, let's get to question number two. But those were all great points. I love that.
Yeah.
Question number two, thinking of dropping my 401k contribution down to 6% just to keep the match and move to hoarding cash. Is this a bad idea?
Yes.
Yes.
Especially if it's a Roth IRA, a Roth 401k, because then you're losing out on your ability to make contributions now that you won't have to pay taxes on later.
I know we've said this to nauseam is the term we like to use, but
ad nauseam.
Yeah. I'm glad you're around to keep me in line here. Everybody loves a sale. It's funny how when sales happen around Christmas, everybody loves that. But when it comes up to this, nobody cares. It's like, guys.
People like to pay retail price on stocks. They see it doing really well, and that's when they jump in, which is like the worst time to buy.
All the mutual funds, everything is on sale. I realize it keeps dropping, but as of when we're recording this today, a lot of the big fund managers are now starting to nibble. Everybody's starting to have a good feeling as of today, which is, let's just spill the guts when we're recording this. This is Thursday, March 19th. Today is the day that people are noticing, like I opened the show, the S&P 500 has actually been hovering in a good range. And a lot of people are starting to feel good.
On the day we post this recording, but as of this week.
And there is a government package coming now, whether it comes out on the Monday when we release this, I don't know. But everyone is feeling good about what the government, they've gotten super serious about this. And that's all the markets wanted. They want to see, is this under control? Are we going to
think about it? Once all these quarantines lift, people are going to have cabin fever. They're going to want to go back to traveling right away. They're going to have vouchers with airlines and hotels that expire at the end of this year. So, the fact that these companies are giving vouchers and not refunds is actually a good thing because it means people have to go back to doing the travel, and then that along with that tourism comes back in, so it's going to work itself out. Cabin fever is already setting in, and it's only been like a week.
And there's been a lot of this term pent up demand. And yeah. This was around before the president started saying it. So we're not repeating what Trump is saying. Yeah. This was talked about like 2 weeks prior to that among stock and fund managers, that there's a lot of people that are going to have these $1,000 checks and they save their money. When you're sitting in your house, it's really hard to spend money. Yeah. I mean, you could go online, but it's different than going to restaurants, movies, that sort of thing. So people are, like you said, they're going to go out of control. If this clears up by summer vacations are going to be insane.
Right.
This is why I want everybody, long-term mindset, keep dumping your money. Do not, like in this question, do not drop your contribution down. You need to be buying on sale, because I'm telling you, this worked for me at 2007, 2009, when this happened back then. I licked my wounds for 2 weeks, and then I immediately increased my contributions, and I rebalanced all four of the funds I had at that time. And I'm telling you, that I look back, that was my contribution to getting where I am now. And this is your chance. I am so serious about this, Amanda. I want everyone to experience what I was able to do back in 2007. And nobody told me to do that. It's just that I got so pissed off, I did it. And it turned out to be the thing that leapfrogged me ahead. Mm-hmm. And this is everyone's chance. It's like a lifetime chance. It really is.
Yeah. So that leads us to the next question.
Yes. Social media question number three.
Number three, and we have four, so this is three out of four. I have some money at my previous employer 401k account. Do you guys think it's good to move that money at a new place while market is down, or am I too late and just let it sit at the old place?
Here's the thing. There is a delay when you move it, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially in the next week. There's a government package coming. We've already talked about that. At some point when the market feels that things have turned, and things are turning in China right now, we're going to talk about this in the main topic. I know for a fact today in a job that I work at, that people are returning to hotels in China. Things have turned. So that wave is going to be coming this direction. At some point when American stock investors know that we're turning, that market's going to turn. And if you're in the middle of transferring this money in a rollover and you miss that 1 or 2 days, it could be, I don't know, Amanda, what do you think? I mean, we don't know. It could be a lot of money that you miss out.
So I actually am leaning towards leaving the money where it is for now.
Yeah, I think we just talked that out.
Normally, under normal circumstances, we would say take your money with you and bring it to your new place. I don't think that these are normal circumstances.
Yeah. How about we leave it in there until we get the first good surge back? And when things level out, you know, at some point it will level out. And I think we're going to go horizontal for a while during our recovery phase. Once the market prices out what the company should be at with the stocks, then you can bring it on over. I think we convinced ourselves that's the right answer.
Yeah. All right. The next and final question.
Yes.
What do you recommend as far as investments go for those who have no debt, including mortgage, and enough cash on hand? Thanks for all you do. So this should be a 10-second answer, Craig.
Oh, yes. Well, let me do the order in investing. Number one, you max out your 401k, and then we go to the IRA. We max that out. Then we go into everything else, like stocks. You do real estate. What else would you think?
No, I thought you were going to say put it in an S&P 500 fund.
Oh, yeah. Let me look at. Oh, OK. I just assumed that they had already. Yeah, it doesn't mention that they're doing any 401ks or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, OK. So what we do is our 401k, if you have that available, hopefully it's a Roth. You have a Roth option. We do Core and Explore. So we recommend, for starters, for most people, the S&P 500 index fund, which most 401k plans do have that. Then once you have that maxed out at 19,500, right now, Amanda, they are on baby step 7. So we are building wealth. That's what we do.
Assuming that there's no kids that need college funds or anything.
So when we build wealth, we're going back to baby step 4, and we're going to max out that 401k. Then we move to the IRA. We open that up and we max that out as well and do the same thing.
So I think we short circuit this response here, Craig, and say, go back and look at the last couple of episodes of the podcast, review our baby steps and review the Core and Explore episode, and that'll get you there.
There you go. And start learning how to invest, because now the world is your oyster. Did I do that correctly?
Yeah.
I'm really bad with these sayings, like the honey and the bee and the flies and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. And stick with us, because we always have great ideas for investing. We really do. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Let's get into our topic. What you got for us?
So this topic is a sign of the times. What should you do if you've just been laid off, or you believe a layoff is imminent and you're about to lose your job?
All right. Well, I guess I can talk here for a second, because yes, I'm going through this right now.
Yeah.
I've just been notified I've been furloughed. So from a Fortune 150 company. So in the hotel industry. So yeah. So right. I'm going through the steps you're talking about, whether it's unemployment, whether I'm even eligible for it. All those sort of things. So.
And you also have a second job, but it's also in the travel industry. So that is at risk as well, right?
And that is coming as well. More than likely, that's going to happen as well. So out of all, how many people do you know get double punched? Sucker punch. So yeah. It's a,
the only,
and remember,
other,
I'm retired.
The only other time that usually happens is if both husband and wife work for the same company.
Now you have no income, but I am retired and I'm doing this to stay busy. So, I'll be fine. It's more of it's going to be more of what you're getting ready to talk about. So,
yeah. Well, so number one, you know, catch your breath and deal with your feelings. We don't normally talk about feelings and emotions on this show because, you know, usually we're pretty fact-based, but this is the reality of it. It's a very emotional experience to go through. You know, you had all this security and then all of a sudden the rug's yanked out from underneath you. So, you know, don't take it personally. Obviously, there's going to be some guilt about losing your job and possibly some shame, because a lot of us have our identities wrapped up in our job. So it's hard once you lose that to also face that change in you personally. But, you know, take a minute, acknowledge your feelings, mourn the loss, and then you kind of got to move on to action so that you don't wallow for too long. And I'm not saying wallow is a bad thing. It's perfectly okay to wallow if this happens. You know, bad things happen and you know, it sucks. It definitely sucks.
Oh, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
So
I've been there.
Yeah.
So once you get, you know, give yourself a day, go have a few drinks, take the night, do some Netflix and chill. Give yourself a day before you start reacting. But once you're ready and you're feeling a little bit more grounded, you know, make sure you get what you owed from the company that you're leaving. Do you have unused vacation or sick time? Are there unpaid expense reimbursements you're still waiting on, or tuition reimbursements? Find out about continuing your insurance coverage. That's a big one.
Yeah, let me comment on that. In my particular case, because every company is going to be different, but they told us that they will allow people to not lose their coverage, which I thought was a great decision. And I'm sure that was made by the founder of the company, who's still alive, because he's worried about his people.
Yeah, I think they're also hoping that this is short term.
Right.
So, you know. So the other thing is, you know, if you can negotiate a benefit package. So obviously, if these are happening in really large chunks, the company probably already has a prepackaged severance package, whether that's money or some of the benefits include like career coaching or resume writing and LinkedIn profile assistance or some administrative support. But even if there is a standard package offered, you might still be in a position to negotiate more. And honestly, at this point, what do you have to lose by asking?
Yeah,
you've already lost your job, and they're not going to give you less of a package if you ask, only more. So it's really, you know, you have nothing to lose. Immediately, you should make sure you have a letter from HR that indicates that you were laid off and not fired. So just a short letter on company letterhead, hopefully a director from HR or someone with some kind of a weighty title, stating that you were laid off as part of a larger general layoff and not fired because any personal performance, or not fired because of personal performance problems. And then you can bring that letter with you on future interviews and include it when you're asked for references. And that helps explain any type of like employment gap that's on your resume. And of course, with all the big ones going on right now, you may not need that right now for your first post-layoff job search, but keep it handy because, you know, 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road, when someone looks at your resume and there's this big gap, or hopefully it's just a small gap, it'll be handy to have. And if they don't want to give you a letter on letterhead, an email is just fine. Just print it out. Also, you should immediately register for unemployment compensation. So I know that the unemployment offices are getting slammed right now, but this is an important one. A lot of times you can file for unemployment online rather than calling or standing in line or anything. But even if you receive a severance pay package, make sure you register for the unemployment compensation. If you wait too long to register, you might find out you waited too long and no longer qualify. On that note, don't try to hide your severance benefits and don't wait to register. We said that already. Mm-hmm. But they're going to take into consideration all of your income now and whether you got a severance to see what benefits you qualify for. And lying about what you have coming in or what kind of severance package you get is fraud. So you don't want to do that.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they know it's the government. Mm-hmm. So they can look it up.
In some states, some employers do not qualify for unemployment compensation, like some small nonprofits.
Right.
But check with your state unemployment office to find out for sure. And then the final tip on unemployment is don't pay a service to do this for you. These services are scams and a waste of your money. So make sure you just go to your local, like, one-stop career center and get started. And again, most of the time, most states have these options online. All right. So what else should you do if you've just been laid off, Craig?
Well, as we were instructing everybody, a week ago, we made that decision to tell everybody to pause the baby steps and stash their cash. Hoard it up.
And stash your cash. And then I'm adding to that, also plan your pennies.
Ooh, I like.
Plan your pennies. So this goes to, one, you have to make sure you're building up your stockpile of emergency money, what you have. So if you got a severance package, put that in there because you're going to need to ration it out. And that goes to the planning your pennies. Make sure you're budgeting and sticking to that budget now more than ever. And we'll talk about some tips with the money, saving money on meal planning up in our Savvy Savings segment. But this is a time to cut all the fat that's in your budget and go bare bones.
If you look back in our history of podcasts, you can go on Apple Podcast or on our website, rockonthemoney.com. Go through all the titles. We try and put every topic that we do in a title. And Amanda's done some great Savvy Savings on how to do a budget. And it's really good. So please go check those out.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, it's time to get back to action and look for a new job. A lot of people are getting laid off, but there's also still sectors that are hiring right now. So make sure you're prepared for job searching. Update and modernize your resume. So if you have an old resume, I'll be the first to tell you, what worked 5 years ago for resumes no longer works. The whole look and feel of them is entirely different. It's a very modern look. I mean, unless you're in a very antiquated field like lawyers are, then you'll want to take a more modern approach to your resume. Make sure you're polishing your LinkedIn page and become more active on LinkedIn. This is the time to activate your network. So there's no shame in reaching out to people who maybe still work at the company you're at and seeing if they have connections elsewhere. If you're let go under these circumstances, people feel bad and they're going to want to help you. I mean, the guilt for the survivors is real at these companies.
Let me ask you about the resume and the LinkedIn page. There's a lot of, I don't know if you've had any interaction or have any knowledge of this from other people. There are a lot of people online that will do this for you. There are people that are really good at making resumes, and they're also good at doing your LinkedIn page for marketing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? I have no knowledge of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that you have to assess where your own skill set is with that. I think there's a lot of free resources out there. Remember, in one of our previous Savvy Saving segments, we talked about resources at the library who will help you with your resume.
Oh, there you go.
So I think I would exhaust all of those options first before spending. But that being said, if you know, I mean, know thyself, right? If you know that this is just not something you're good at and it's going to prevent you from getting a job, then spending $100 to get it shipped shape is well worth the investment.
You probably want to not go to Fiverr to get someone to do your LinkedIn page. five yeah. bucks. To, yeah, the I got yeah, you. I was just curious.
Sometimes you get what you pay for. Though. Yeah. But there are a lot of really good free resources. The library, a lot of job centers, even unemployment offices sometimes have those skills. And again, maybe it was part of your severance package to get some of that guy help and guidance.
And there are a lot of good YouTubers out there that deal only with trying to get a job and coaching like that. And you don't have to pay for these YouTube videos. And I know there's videos on how to do your YouTube channel, your social media accounts. There are great videos on how to do your LinkedIn page. So you could really
look
go watch
you, about savvy savings.
I'm always watching how people are doing different techniques and tricks and stuff like that. So,
And then the last thing I'll say is create your own business cards. So you may have business cards, but they're probably most likely associated with your last job or company. Mm-hmm. So you just need to create your own. And you don't have, first of all, there's really cheap ones like on Vistaprint. You can get a whole bunch for like $20.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you know you're not going to go through 500, then maybe just design some on your home computer and print out a couple pages worth. And, you know, just get some really thick, high quality paper to do that, or like Office Max sells
the Avery card stock. The high quality. Exactly. Yeah, don't try and save money on that. Get the Avery good business card stock. Yeah.
Definitely. But, you know, it just has to be like your name, your phone number, your email address. And then you might even consider putting like some kind of really short, so not long, because this isn't a whole resume, but really short, either like, I don't know, title almost, but like a short description of your basic best skills.
Yep.
Like I might say I'm a legal professional or attorney, you know, like just think of what you might put on there. Mm-hmm. Like Craig, what would you put on your business card?
I'd put my name and contact information on one side. On the other side, I'm amazing. That would be it. No, actually, I want to make us cards. You know how many times people, when I'm out and about, people ask me, well, what's the name of the podcast? And I don't have a card to hand them. I get so many, and I know they can't remember Rock on the Money. If I just had these cards that you and I just hand them out.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask. So actually, I'm going to be designing some cards. Yeah, I've designed a bunch of business cards. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And put the t-shirts on the list too. Yes. While we're at the Vistaprint website.
I'm out of control now. I'm telling you, I got time on my hands now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the last thing I do want to say about this, and I've been there before, Craig, you're going through it right now. There's no sugarcoating it. And that's not at all what I'm trying to convey here. But you know, maybe it is an opportunity to see a silver lining. I certainly never thought that when I was in the midst of it. But I promise you that each and every time it happened, maybe not right away, but soon after, like within a few months or the same year, my life took a huge upward swing to something bigger and better. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's around the corner. I know it really sucks and is scary right now, but if you can weather the storm, you know, hopefully there's sunshine on the other side. So look for that silver lining. Now could be the time that you achieve your new personal goals or improve your mind or your body. Maybe you've been meaning to work out more. And if you're happy, things can't be that bad. So, you know, think about starting your day off with listing 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for or that are going well in your life.
Yep. That's awesome.
That's it.
All right. You talk me into it. I'll go do what I want now.
Yeah. Chin up.
Oh, hey, I know.
It could be a great opportunity.
It could be worse. I could have coronavirus.
And you know what? For all those listeners out there, maybe this is the nudge you needed to leave the job you hate and look for something that you love.
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
I know.
Nothing motivates people more than, necessity is the, what did they say? Necessity is the mother of creation or invention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and nothing's more motivating than having to do it.
And the reality is, I know this sounds crazy, but in this, I've been using computers since the early 80s. Today, with what you have available to you, sitting in your house, you have a phone, you can get on the internet, you can create a store on Shopify in minutes, literally minutes. There's so many ways to make money. You just have to get motivated, watch some YouTube videos, learn something, and make it happen. You can even do that until you get a job.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. So in the meantime, look at those side hustles and side gigs that we talked about in one of our previous episodes for some ideas there on how to at least just bridge the gap.
Right. Everybody, it's a level playing field when you're on the internet. It is. Yeah. Nobody's bigger than anyone else. The difference is your desire is that can be bigger than the other person. It's up to you. Do you like that one?
All right.
I'm gonna write that one down. I like that. All right.
On that positive note, even though we're in a really crappy time period.
Let's take a break because you left us a teaser and we got a savvy savings coming up.
That's right, with our special guest.
Okay. And you're not telling me, so I can't wait to hear. All right. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Rock on the Money, Craig and Amanda. Craig and Amanda. Don't forget, you can always call us, Amanda. They can call us and possibly win a gift card.
Wow.
Of course, that I could probably use a gift card myself at this point.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it is what it is.
This month is like a year long.
I know. Will 2020 ever end? And don't forget, we have an election coming up.
Well, it might if the whole world ends. So
there's always that. Hey, we're supposed to be positive. We are the positive group. You can call 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625, and leave your financial question. If we use it, you're in the running for a gift card. We draw at the end of every single month. And I'll take that on my unemployment.
Yeah, we'll do that on a live Facebook, right, Craig?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You all are going to get really tired of me being live daily. Daily. Daily updates every day. We'll never replace this. All right, so we're up to Savvy Savings. What you savvy got for
savings.
Us today?
We've got a very special guest today for Savvy Savings.
Awesome.
I'm going to turn over today's segment to my sister, Monica, and she's going to talk to us about some money-saving meals. Hi, Monica. Welcome. But first, you want to give us an update? You just recently started Financial Peace University, right?
Yeah, we started, I think it was the beginning of March. I finally coerced my husband to come with me, and so we just started our journey beginning, maybe it was February, but yeah, we're just kind of at the beginning.
And how's that going?
Good. I mean, I feel like 2020 was like, hold my beer, you know, like you're starting to think you're going to save money, but you're not going to work for a while. But what's been awesome about this, though, is just having a little bit more of a command of my money where, you know, being a service industry worker, I'm a hairstylist, I am now out of work indefinitely, but it's good because I've been telling my money where to go for the past 2 months. So right. I already know what a month is going to look like. And so I'm not freaking out where I know I would have been, you know, even a year ago.
Right.
I feel like I have a little bit more control, even though I don't have control.
Yeah. And so for some of our listeners who have been with us for a while, a couple episodes ago, I shared Monica's actually the one who did that one, selling everything in her house for $1 to make her $1,000 mini emergency fund. So she's got lots of great tips on not just the baby steps, but on money saving in general.
Yeah, I would say I'm probably like a hustler of hustlers. Like I'm always kind of throwing out like, how can I, you know, make a couple bucks here and there? Yeah, so.
But you actually are in two service industries, kind of like Craig, right? Where you're a stylist and also Monica and I actually own a business together and it's a lice treatment business. Do you want to go ahead and plug that while you're on? We let our guests plug their business.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So as Amanda said, we do own a head lice treatment business. I know all the listeners are scratching their heads. I can tell everybody you did not get lice just by hearing me talk about it. but yes, we do. So I do treat head lice, and that is a physical contact job. So that position as well, I am not able to work under the new COVID mandates that were handed down from our governor over this week. So, but we are definitely still shipping out product. If you find yourself stuck at home on quarantine, but you have some little guests in your hair, feel free to go to www.notorious, N-I-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, bug, Com, and you can get some products. We'll get them out to you and walk you through how to get rid of those little bugs.
Yeah, so it's Notorious, B-U-G, a little play on Notorious, B-I-G, for those of you who are trying to remember. So if anyone needs any product, go ahead and go over to the website, and Monica will get that right out to you. All right, well, the reason we brought you on the show today, you had a great Facebook post that I caught the other day on some breakfast burritos that you were meal prepping that end up being about 30 cents each for breakfast. So I know a lot of people are really struggling with their budgets right now. And well, why don't you just walk us through what your weekly food budget is, and then if you could go ahead and share your breakfast burrito idea.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So we, one thing, even before Dave Ramsey, like, I am really pretty strict with my budget. And my family of five, I have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and my husband and I, we stay at or below $80 a week consistently for groceries. One of the things that I do is I shop at Aldi. I don't think that there's any better pricing out there, so that's what I found. And lately, I've actually been getting the delivery, so that kind of keeps me from being swayed by any of those in-store purchases that I wasn't planning, so that's helping me stay under budget. And the other thing that's really great about the delivery is that I'm not out of food. Like, there are times after working a long shift at the salon, I'm like, oh, I'm too tired to go grocery shopping. Well, let's just pick up fast food. Well, now we can't because we're on our strict budget, and so if I order the groceries, they're already at home. I can make my meal. So that's been very helpful to keep me under budget as well. When I do my order throughout the week, I'll put things into my cart, or you can obviously make a grocery list. And one of the things that I do is I kind of alternate each week whether I buy bulk chicken or bulk ground beef, and then I plan my meals around that. So I will do bulk chicken breasts in the crock pot and then shred them all up, and then I do like chicken burritos, chicken tacos, fettuccine Alfredo with chicken. And so then I plan, you know, my meals for that week are kind of based around chicken. And we always throw in like a, we call it brinner, which is breakfast for dinner. And then the alternate week, I, the ground beef. And then we plan our meals around that, which is like tacos or meatloaf or meatballs or.
So how would you, how many pounds of chicken would you say you use to stretch for the week for five people?
It usually comes out to be, they just have the bulk chicken packages at Aldi, and I want to say they're like $13 a piece around there, and it's like $1.99 a pound. So what is that, like 6 pounds of chicken?
Yeah. Okay, so that's like 1 pound a person for the whole week.
But you'd be amazed how much shredded chicken that makes, and that's what I found is by shredding up the chicken, it goes further. Because think about it, whether you're going to do, like if you're going to put a chicken breast on a bun, you're going to use a lot more chicken breast than if you did a scoop of shredded chicken.
Right. Okay, great.
So that, yeah, that helps too. And one thing I will say is I think that people get caught up in like variety and being fancy and like switching up meals a lot. And I don't think you have to do that. I think that if you kind of have maybe 10 or 15 meals your family loves, just rotate through those.
Yeah.
By the time you swing back around, you know, it's been 2 weeks since they've had tacos or something. So they're not, you know, they're not mad about it.
Plus, you can't get sick of tacos.
Well, I know. We do tacos in every variation. We do. Yeah. We do taco lasagna, taco salad.
Yeah, my husband claims he can eat a million tacos in one sitting, but
well,
so far I've only seen a, one time he tried when it was unlimited taco night at a restaurant, and I think he got to 9.5.
Yep. So, and the other thing too is I buy like bags of lettuce, and then that's kind of our filler for dinner, like a bag of salad. They're like 99 cents for a bag of salad, and I throw that in a bowl, and that's like kind of the filler for your plate, and then, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, so talk to us about these breakfast burritos.
Yeah, I didn't realize it would be such a hit. I felt so productive yesterday as I was coming and hoeing. You know, I'm a salon owner as well as the owner of the Life business. And, you know, I felt a lot of the responsibility on me to make the call whether to shut us down. Well, luckily, the governor did that for us.
But luckily, luckily.
Well, yeah, right. In that waiting, though, you know, it's like I couldn't control what was going to be happening. But it's like, well, I can prep for the future. And so I just prepped a whole bunch of breakfast burritos. So I took a dozen eggs and scrambled them up and did a package of sausage and browned that up and mixed it
together. Walk us through the pricing of each of these ingredients, though, because I think that's fascinating, especially when people think, no, there's no way you can do it for that price.
Yeah, our average meal per family, just so I can throw this in there, like when we sit down to eat dinner, our average meal for a family of five is probably cost us anywhere from $6 to $10 for the meal total.
Yeah.
And so this one, so the sausage, the roll of sausage, and these are Aldi pricing. These are current Aldi prices on my Instacart app. So this is why I checked it out before I posted it. 48 cents is a dozen of eggs. So I did a dozen eggs. And then a roll of their pork sausage is $1.89. And I browned that up. Let's see what else. Oh, and then I did 4 slices of like that singles, that processed cheese.
Yeah, like Kraft, the Kraft cheese slices, yeah, but not name brand.
Right, exactly. So I get the Aldi brand because, I mean, if you're buying fake cheese, I think it's probably the same either way, right?
Yeah.
And so I did 4 slices of that. Well, it's $1 for a package of that, so 4 slices, which it probably wasn't even a quarter. They probably have more than 16, but I just estimated I did maybe a quarter of the package. So that was about a quarter worth of cheese. And then the tortillas are 99 cents a package, and there's 10 in a package. I ended up being able to make 15 burritos, so actually $1.25 a package now. They used to be 99 cents. So they're $1.25 a package. And so I did a package and a half, so at $1.87 for the tortillas. That's it, right? The
sausage,
tortillas, the cheese, and the eggs.
Yep.
And then somebody called me up on it and said, oh, you didn't include the price of the foil. Well, I bought my tin foil at the dollar store. I probably used maybe a fifth of the roll, so maybe 20 cents worth. So I guess that's, you know, another 20 cents. Well, when I added that all up and divided that by 15 burritos, it comes out to like 30 cents a burrito.
And so how do you make this?
How do I? Okay, so like the recipe. See, and I'm not a recipe follower, but I just throw stuff together. But I scrambled up first I browned up the sausage and set it aside. Then I scrambled up the eggs, and I did not add any extra seasoning because I think the cheese and the sausage is salty enough.
Sure, yeah, but, yep, it's very salty.
Yeah, so I actually, right before, while the eggs were still a little bit wet, I threw the browned sausage back in with the eggs, and then I kind of ripped apart the cheese and mixed that all in so it was nice and creamy, and then just, it's as simple as taking maybe a quarter cup of the filling and rolling up the burrito. I wrap it in tin foil and put each one in the freezer.
And I did see one of your tips was to make sure that the burritos cool before wrapping them up, right?
Oh, yes. Yep, absolutely. Because I think if you do, like, I let the filling cool before I wrap them up. Otherwise, they can get kind of soggy once you put them in the tin foil and in the freezer. And then people are asking me about reheating them.
So obviously, you need to remove the tin foil, right? Because otherwise, yes. Craig, yep. You would know as a firefighter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I have to teach my kids that, right? So, yes, take the tin foil off, and then I wrap them in paper towel and just pop them in the microwave. If you remembered to throw it in the fridge at night so it was thawed by morning, you could probably nuke it for about 30 seconds, but we take them right from frozen to nuked, and it probably takes about a minute and a half. You just want to flip halfway through.
Awesome. So there you go. Breakfast for 30 cents.
Right. I mean, how easy is that? And like I said, grab a piece of fruit or something, and bananas are cheap, apples are cheap, so you can do that and add a little extra nutrition. My kids don't like cooked veggies. They only like raw veggies generally for stuff like that. So, but otherwise, throw a potato in there if you want to stretch it even a little bit further.
Or rice. Rice is cheap. Rice and beans make for great spicy Mexican.
Yeah. That's what I did. A whole bunch of rice and bean burritos yesterday, too. So I felt like I was really cruising.
What do you think, Craig?
Well, we have an Aldi. We have Aldis all over the place here. And when she said she has it delivered, I'm like, what are you talking about? You kids know everything. So as you're talking, I created an account on Instacart. I've never used it before, but they do deliver to my house. I'm like, oh, I have 10 stores I can order from. Wegmans, Aldi, Giant Food, Safeway, Costco, Shoppers. We have Shoppers Food Warehouse, CVS Pharmacy, Petco, H Mart, and Target.
Yeah. So while people are under this quarantine, I bet Instacart is a great tool to use.
Yeah. And what I will say is people have said to me, well, don't they charge you money? I will tell you that there is a yearly fee. I can 100% say I'm pretty sure I've already saved that much money by just not going to the store and throwing extra things in my cart.
Wait a minute. You mean a fee at Instacart?
There is an Instacart fee. I mean, obviously they have to make some money somehow. So it's like a yearly subscription fee.
Oh, here it is. The Express. So you can become an Express member. $99 a year, unlimited free delivery year round. And
so
you pay $10 a month.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. $35
exactly.
Minimum order.
$10 a month.
That's, you know, that's no different than going to Amazon.
That's what I think too. And honestly, like I said, I feel like I've saved more than that by not going to the store and also by not running to fast food because we don't have the groceries in the house. So to me, it was definitely more of a reward than a risk. So.
And one of the good things about not going in the grocery store, like you've pointed out, they heavily market. Grocery stores and credit cards are the two most studied and marketed things out there. So when you're walking down the aisles, the things at the eye level, those products pay for that product placement. And everything is designed to get you to buy more. So if you can avoid, like you said, going there, you can technically save money by just sticking with your budget and your menu meal plan. Did I explain that correctly, Amanda?
I think
you're my fact checker. Yeah. You can save money.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Monica. We won't keep you any longer, but really appreciate all the great tips you shared today.
No problem. And I will be, I mean, everybody at my post was like, oh, keep sharing more of your budget meals. So, you know, I will definitely be willing to share more ways that we keep our food costs down, because I know that's a big expense for many people.
Awesome.
And I'd love to bring you back on and follow your journey through the baby steps.
Yeah, I was excited. One thing I wanted to say is, so far, even just following this, I just did the math last week. We have already paid off like $4,000 in debt.
Whoa!
Since what, January?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's awesome.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. So that's amazing.
That felt pretty empowering. So, I mean, now we're doing the minimum payments as per instruction. But, you know, it's really good to see what can happen when you put your mind to it.
There you go.
Well, congratulations and keep up the good work.
Thank you. And yeah, it feels good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was awesome, Amanda. Thank you for getting her to come on and explain all that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to hear people that are going through the baby steps. That was awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much once again, Amanda, with all of your knowledge and keeping me in line.
And Craig, we also need to remind people to call in with their questions.
Oh, yes. Please call 989-888-ROCK. We are still going to give away a gift card at the end of March, as we're recording this, from March of 2020, depending on when you're listening to this. And if we use your question, your recorded question, you're in the running for a gift card this month. And I plan to continue doing this until we get so far in debt that... By the way, Amanda, I did turn down all bailout money today from the federal government for our podcast. So that's the kind of guy I am. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.